Good morning. This is Spring Valley Bible Church online. My name is Kit Sheehan. We need to go into prayer and put all our cares on Him, for He cares for us. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for each and every day that we get to live in your grace. We pray now, Father, that you'll guide us in our worship service that it might be pleasing to you, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Brian, what do we got for songs today?
Good morning, everyone. Would you join us, please, at the back of the songs in the New Broadman Hymnal, Let Pharisees of High Esteem, a song called Let Pharisees of High Esteem, 5 verses.
Of high esteem, their faith and zeal declare. All their religion is a dream, if love be wanting there. Love suffers long with patient eye, and never hangers fast. She lets the present injury die, and long forgets the past. Love nor desires, nor seeks to know the scandals of the time, nor looks with pride on those below, nor envies those that climb. For love lays her home advantage by, to seek her neighbor's good. So God's own Son came down to die, and bought our lives with blood. Love is the grace that keeps her power in all the realms above. Their faith and hope are known no more, but saints forever love.
All right, in the New Broadman Hymnal number 481, song 481 is called Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
But thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Thank you, Brian. Nice songs there. I may come back to those in the sermon. So let's talk about prayer here. We got a couple of special requests. There's a lady, Evelyn and O'Connor, I guess her grandbabies, Theo. Theo's the name. We're praying for Theo, the baby. He was born not fully developed, perhaps a little early and underweight, and so he's in kind of an ICU for babies. So we need to pray for help there for the doctors and for the baby, that the baby will recover. Also, I have a friend of mine, Roland. I talked about him previously. He's got a brain bleed similar to what Herman has. He was in the emergency room yesterday, and he's okay. But continued prayers for Roland for the doctors may be able to continue to treat him, that he won't have another brain bleed. Let me go to the prayer list. Somehow I think there's something else here. I wanted to say something. I've said it before. Is that we pray for healing, physical healing, but there's always a spiritual component to our prayers. Reminds me of a story I've told before about a young lady that had gotten into drugs and alcoholism and who knows what. And eventually she believed in Jesus as Savior. And so she was very, very, very much into witnessing, into studying the Word. And all of a sudden, after maybe a year, she found she had terminal cancer. And so she went to somebody that she knew, D.A. Carson, who's a Bible teacher, also a commentator in books. And he and a friend were trying to decide what to pray. So they spent, when you pray, especially intense prayers, you may want to do prayer preparation. So they spent almost a half an hour discussing what they needed to pray for her. And they figured, well, yeah, we could pray for healing, but likely that this, just the way the things are going, that this is the end of her life. And so what they decided on was God started a work in her life, and that that he would complete that work. And it was a couple days later that he got a call from the girl and said, you know, I was mad at God, but I'm going to my Savior Jesus, and I'll see him before you will. And she was happy that she was on her way to heaven. So in that case, the emphasis there is on the spiritual side. So when we pray for somebody, we keep in mind that we need to add the spiritual perspective, whether if someone's in suffering, that they may learn, as we will learn today, that suffering is often a way to help us grow. We see that in several places, whether that's in James or Romans or First Peter, that in other places as well, that God says that suffering is counter all joy, says James. We need to sometimes learn, and as we'll see, part of that is perseverance, endurance, patience, the different translations for the same words. So, like I say, that there's a spiritual aspect to it that we must not forget. I talked with Judith, or I got a text message from Judith recently. Herman has been having some difficulties. I think he's better this week. So we'll continue to pray for his physical health, but also with Judith. I know they're both have issues, so we'll pray for their health, their endurance, and blessing in their life. Like I say, a spiritual blessing as well, that they'll see God's work in their lives. And pray also for John and Judy Hintz, Tucson Bible Church, and pray for the congregation at Tucson Bible Church. Herman and John Hintz are very close friends and teach essentially the same kinds of things. So it's like a sister church. Carrie and Faisal John, I think they're in the States right now. We prayed that one of their children had an issue with a visa or something. So continue to pray for their trip here. I know they tend to travel around and raise money for their missionary activities in Pakistan. So we can pray that their church will continue to broadcast the message of Christ, salvation, to the Muslim community, and will be safe, secure against all attacks, and that they will raise enough money to get them through another year. And there's the Risley family. I talk about that weekly, that the cartel down there is just they arrested the Americans, got one of the cartel leaders for the Sinaloa cartel, which caused the cartel to split. But they're fighting amongst themselves, but their people get stuck in the middle, and sometimes people get stopped in their cars, and they try and determine whose side they're on. If they're on the wrong side, they kill them. So we pray that Courtney and Grady and their children will be safe, secure, but they also have necessary funds, resources for Courtney's clinic, that she'll be blessed mightily, and that they'll continue in that spiritual missionary world, that they can give the gospel while they're ministering to the people, as well as Grady for the food that he provides. And again, for the children, I don't know how they are tied into the missionary activities, but I'm sure they give the gospel as well. So pray for their outreach as well. Pray for Dan and Pat Hill, especially Pat Hill, for her memory issues. Dan goes to different countries in Africa, teaches the teachers. Pray for their outreach, but also their health, because they're like I say, Pat, I know, has some issues, and I don't know about Dan. And I got Brother Linus on Facebook, so I'm watching him in Nigeria. Amazing things that they're doing there in Nigeria. But also pray for there are many Christian outreaches throughout Africa, whether that was in Nigeria or Liberia, Nigeria, Kenya, so many places. We know that places like Sudan, there's tremendous conflict. And Muslims attack Christians, and Christians attack Muslims. So we pray that the word of God can be broadcast, and that God can use that throughout the especially for Brother Linus and his church, to pray for their protection. Pray for our online ministry, that God can continue to guide us. So we pray for the military. I talk a lot about them, having been in the military. I know Herman was in the military. Many of the people in our congregation were in the military. You're often deployed away from home, away from loved ones, sometimes in harm's way. And just because we're officially at peace doesn't mean that people aren't shooting at them. We saw that from Yemen. I guess there's a truce now between the U.S. and Yemen, as far as Yemen isn't going to shoot missiles at the ships anymore. But they're still shooting missiles and drones and stuff at Israel. So pray for our military in different places, places we don't even know. Also pray for the police and the fire department. Every couple of days I hear an ambulance go by the house. Somebody in the neighborhood is hurt, a heart attack or something. And something that happened last week, I was at a party, there was a man that apparently was eating and got something stuck in his throat and he couldn't breathe. And nobody realized that at the time. And he was sitting down, and all of a sudden he fell down flat on his face, broke his cheekbone, and broke his nose, and was bleeding. And then he stopped breathing. Luckily, there was an EMT or two, a nurse that attended to him. But there wasn't anything I could do except pray. And so, if you're in a situation like that, you don't need to be a bystander. You can be a participant in the sense that God can empower you to pray or tap you on the shoulder and pray for somebody. And again, this may include a spiritual aspect of it, not only to revive, and he was revived. He went to the emergency room. It's okay now. So that perhaps God can enter his life. I don't know if he was a believer or unbeliever, but we can pray that, and I don't remember what his name is, that God can use that situation to awaken him. Sometimes God does that, taps us on the shoulder if we've been out of fellowship for a long time, or sometimes a believer. I talked about that jailer in 1 Corinthians. Because of the earthquake, all of a sudden he realized, you know, I'm not saved. And these guys here that are in jail, they know about salvation. So we asked him, what must I do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. So sometimes those natural disasters or personal problems, issues, health issues, can force us to concentrate on what's really important. And we'll talk a little bit about hope today. I know it's a short handout, but we'll see what where God takes us. That's important to look forward. That's what hope is about. We talk about hope as being confident expectation. So there's confidence, but it's confidence in the future. So and we know the future because we know the promises of God that were made in the past. And I find that kind of an interesting thought that we have present confidence in a past promise, so we're confident about the future. So we'll get there. While we're here, well, let me talk about we got our listen page where we normally put our handouts on in Romans. But we have a contributions page where we can you can give on the internet with a credit card or PayPal. And if you're like some of us, you like paper, so you can send a check to Spring Valley Bible Church, P.O. Box 702431, Dallas, Texas 75370. We also have a place where you can give to the Liberty Youth Group. We support them as much as possible. And they have their own webpage, libertyyouthministries.com. And so you can see what's going on with the summer camp. You can participate if you want. You can be on staff. But you go that to their website to sign up there and get information. You also, they have a place where you can give there as well. So continue to pray for Spring Valley Bible Church for guidance to where to go. If we maybe someday we'll go back to a place where we can meet face to face. But for now, we just meet on the internet. Again, pray for Herman. He's been having some troubles, so pray for his health. But a spiritual blessing in his life as well. I know that as I study the Word, I find things that I find exciting, and we'll go over some of those perhaps. So we continue to pray for Herman. We'll pray for the youth ministry. Every day, especially on the weekend and the Sunday shows, you see all the problems we have in the United States. I talk about hate, how hate is wrong for a Christian. It's a sin. It takes us away from fellowship from God. You should not be engaging in hate, whether that's in person or on the internet. It's wrong. We need to be the solution. We need to be helping people heal. But you see so much hatred. It ruins people. I mean, hatred doesn't, just because you hate somebody, it doesn't mean that you're not hurting yourself. Well, anyhow. So we pray for the America. I know that currently many of the politicians are attacked, whether verbally or in some cases physically. I know that Ted Cruz has had problems because people identified where he lived, and so people that don't like him would wake him up at 2 or 3 in the morning, shouting and stuff. I know that's happened with some of the judges, Supreme Court judges, and it's just we need to let the government work. It pains me to see this in America, to see all this hatred. Now I thank you for prayers. Some days the lesson goes easily. I just write it and it goes. I'm finished by Thursday or Friday. But this week was particularly tough, and I only had 8 pages. But God provides. So if it's short, it's short. But I think it's important. What we're talking about is hope, and I won't get into the sermon here. I'm about ready to jump into that, but let's get into our individual prayer requests. Jared Lynn, a knee replacement surgery went well, so we're thankful for answered prayer there. Phyllis Music, she's in, I think she's in a memory care place. She's had a number of issues, so we need to pray for, especially the spiritual enlightenment, the spiritual joy, that she'll have access to Bible information, that for fellowship. I mean, she's in Florida, so I can't fly down and visit her. But she's been a real contributor to our ministry. She participated in so many different ways. So pray that the doctors can treat her physical ailments. She's had the shots in her eye for macular degeneration. She has a surgery, or she had surgery, which discovered a stage, I don't know if that was stage, I don't remember what stage it was. It was a cancer. And then she fell and broke her hip, and now she's got a number of other issues, maybe memory issues. So pray that God can bless her in ways only that God can do that. I know that I've seen people at nursing homes. Some of them will go around with a frown on their face and be angry at the world, and others just put it in the Lord's hands, even though they don't remember a lot. They understand that God is blessing them in whatever way He does, and they had a smile all day long. So pray that God will put a smile on Phyllis's face, and that many blessings. So Jerry has a grade 1 prostate cancer, so that means it's early. I know that I've got other friends that have prostate cancer or issues with prostate. So that's a problem with men. I saw a statistic somewhere that about one eighth of men get prostate cancer. So pray for Jerry that the doctors will be able to treat his prostate cancer and monitor. Now, some of the prostate cancers grow slowly, so it's not a problem. But so if this is one of those, then that's fine. There are other cancers of the prostate that go rather quickly, and there's not much they can do. Continue to pray for the youth ministry. Lauren had back surgeries, and so pray for reduced pain. And again, we talk about the spiritual aspect of it, that she'll have maybe friends that can minister to her, and that she can concentrate on God's grace. So Candace, we talked, I believe, last week about she had three organ transplants. Pray that her body accepts the organs and that she can continue in her life. The issue there is that the mom is having to take care of both the dad and the daughter, or the husband and the daughter. So pray for Kathy, for her stamina, physical health, that she can have encouragement in her spiritual life that will move her forward in her life and help her minister to both her daughter and her husband. Again, we talked about Herman. He still has the aorta stenosis. Don't know if there's much they can do there, but just continue to pray for his health, and as well as Judith, that they God in His way can bless them mightily. Oh, so many people we have. I wanted to talk about Elvin. We have an update there he's doing better. So there's some answered prayer there. So we're grateful for that. So Lee, again, another prostate issue. As we get older, we get problems with our body. I had a doctor when I went in for my, I don't know, I was 70 at the time, went in for my annual physical, and he said he had a couple of 50-year-old men that had some real aches and pains, and would come in, and he said, you know what I told them? It's only going to get worse. Well, I can attest to that. As you get older, things don't work as well. More pains, knees and joints and different issues. So it just comes with the territory. But if we've been faithful in our intake of Bible information, I call it Bible information, Bible doctrine. I also like to characterize it as Bible answers, because the Bible has answers. It's full of answers. And so pray that that as we get older, that we are able to apply those Bible answers to our lives, to have a closer walk with, there's our song, A Closer Walk with the Lord. And I think I emphasized that in today's lesson, that we want to emphasize that relationship with God the Father. So a constant prayer life, as Paul was saying, pray without ceasing. And I think theme talked about that is pray like you have a hacking cough. That's an important part of our spiritual life, is to mature and have that intimate relationship with God the Father. Thank you for prayers for Katerina. I think she's doing okay. Pray for Eve, for her health, for her. I don't know if she's still in rehab therapy. But also her daughter needs prayer. Don't know the issue, but God does. So pray for Eve's daughter that God can enter her life and bless her with the knowledge and answers that she needs for her life. We've been praying for Mike Beal. Pray that in his situation that he'll have fellowship with believers, information from the Bible, encouragement, and a joy. We pray weekly for Ben and Holly Daig. Ben's in the Air Force. He's stationed at Pensacola, Florida, going through training. So Marie has blood clots on the brain, is paralyzed on the left side. So pray for healing for her and help her to focus on the source of healing. That's God himself, that he may enter her life and that she may understand things about God, things that bring her blessing and encouragement. Ed Lacey, we pray, continuing to pray for his recovery from his latest heart attack and the stents. We've been praying for Yantan for treatment for her lungs. Okay. So let's pray for these people, for the United States, but also prepare your souls for the study of the Word of God. We may have a short lesson, but I think it's important because we're talking about how we get to maturity. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your grace, for the time we have to see different parts of your plan, to participate in your plan, and that we might learn to be joyful in suffering, knowing that that suffering will help us grow in grace. And we pray, Father, for our country, that you can bless our leaders, that those that are believers will walk by faith, will be guided by you. Those that are not will get a good hearing of the gospel. We pray for the protection for those in government, in spite of all the hatred that's out there. Now we pray, Father, that you'll help us with the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we'll rely and depend on him as for this lesson. And I pray that you'll give me words to speak that will be able to communicate what you want to communicate. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so we need to share the lesson. And before we got started, in the last year or so, there's several things that just have struck me as being interesting, important, intriguing, things that I didn't see in a different way. One of those was sometimes just rewording something or asking the right question opens up a whole other perspective on something that you looked at. One of those is the Genesis chapter 3, when the fall of Adam and Eve. What was the first cause? What caused them to sin? Well, that was because they lost faith in God, and they trusted what the devil told them. So they acted on what the devil said. And I find it fascinating in those terms that so they believed in Satan, and they fell, and that became a permanent status quo for them. They were out of fellowship. They were on their way, whether they realized it or not, to the lake of fire. So God comes in and says, I have a solution. The solution was it will be the same way as they fell, by faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, and that changes their everlasting status to saved, and they will be in heaven forever. Or, well, in the millennium, we may be on earth with Jesus Christ serving under him in our resurrection bodies. But I found that fascinating that they fell by faith and they were saved by faith. That just seems so profound, but yet there it is right in front of us. So I wanted to talk about hope. So we start with, we're still in Romans chapter 5. And so we're not going backwards, but I'm dealing with so many things that are in chapter 5. It's full of stuff. So I'm dealing by topics. I mean, I can go through and go word by word and keep on going. But we needed to look at some of the concepts. And one of them is hope. And I learned some things about hope just studying for this. That essentially this is on the path to maturity. And sometimes we talk about, how do I apply faith? How do I do that? What is faith? Well, part of that is patience or perseverance, waiting. I think that's another word that I found that interests me, is that when we wait on God, we're really, that's status quo faith. So, for instance, if you've got some big problem at work and you go home and you say, okay, I'll just put it in God's hands. And I just have to focus on God. I have to wait on Him. And so sometimes, the next day the problem is solved and you say, how did that happen? How'd you do that, God? Well, He's God. He can do anything. So He did it because you trusted Him. You waited on Him. So let's go back. We'll start with kind of a review here with Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of being declared righteous by God, another justification. And those two words go together, righteousness and justification. When we trust in Jesus Christ, God imputes to us righteousness. And God then looks at us at that righteousness that He imputed and says, justified. So justification is a declaration of our righteousness. So we have peace with God because of that. And there's also there's a peace with God and there's a peace of God. And we're talking not with a peace of God. We'll get to that another day, maybe. But we have peace with God. And so we have peace with God. We're no longer enemies of God. We've talked about that passage. While we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. So, but this is not like a truce or a treaty or a ceasefire. We're now on God's team. We've crossed over and we're citizens of heaven. And sometimes we forget that we're not citizens of earth as it is. We're citizens of heaven. Because we know when we die, that's where we go. We go face to face with our Lord and Savior, our friend Jesus Christ. We're on God's team. We're legal citizens of heaven. We are family. I originally put the word, we're friends. We're not just friends, we're family. We're children of God. We're family under God's care. God cares for us. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. God cares for us. So, Don't give up hope. Ooh, there's that word. Don't give up your confidence. Be confident in God because He cares for you. Romans 5:2. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult, we boast in hope of the glory of God. And something that Robbie Dean said, the glory of God. That's, as it were, a demonstration of God's character. It's His character manifest. So we see when one of the was it John? We saw, or I'm trying to remember which one it was in which gospel. Anyhow, we saw it was Peter's. Yeah, it was Peter. Said we saw His glory. He's talking about the transfiguration. But we saw His glory, the character of God. And I know that many people in the Old Testament wanted to see God, but they knew that if they saw the entirety of God in one second, that would kill them because there's so much power there. So Moses had to turn his head away or go into a niche, and God allowed him to His glory to pass by. And so the glory or the character of God was manifested in the life of Jesus. So the apostles saw that glory. But you can manifest it as well, because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on here. So we share in God's glory. We are exhibits in the angelic conflict. God took his enemy, which was each one of us, and through our response, our faith response, he justified us, remember, imputed righteousness, and provided many blessings. We know that the point of salvation gives us 33 or more blessings. I know some people have taken that to 40. I think one place they wanted to make it up to 50, but whatever. We have many, a multitude of blessings at the point of salvation. And that's why another reason why you can't say you lose your salvation. God never says he withdraws those blessings. Once saved, always saved. Now, because we are family, God can whip us. And there's a, I forget what the passage is, but he can whip us in ways that gets our attention. So it was a permanent status of separation from God. By faith in what the devil told Adam and Eve, they fell. And it was a permanent status of separation from God, except that God provided an escape through faith in Jesus Christ. And I explained that. The salvation of each and every believer glorifies God. And now we can glorify God through walking by faith, dependence on God, the Holy Spirit. Again, God's glory is a demonstration of his character. And again, some of those characteristics we can manifest because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Something I came across was there are characteristics of God, and they call them communicable and non-communicable, is that we don't have infinite knowledge. We're not omnipotent, omniscient. Those are things that but we do have God's love through the power of the Holy Spirit. So those, we can manifest that character. And that's an important characteristic to remember. Was it 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Love, hope, faith, love, and hope. And the greatest of these is love. So being filled with the Spirit and manifesting that virtue of love is really important. But we're talking about hope, and all three of those, the faith is important because that gets us going. And the hope is part of our maturity. And so especially if you have maturity, that mature love, that you can manifest that. Now, certainly a baby believer can manifest some, but it's hard to, it's not mature love. When you grow in grace and a knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are things that you understand about God's character. You have developed patience and perseverance. That's what we're talking about when we get to hope here. So here we go. Romans 5:3. And not only this, but we also exult, boast in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. So this is very similar to James, count it all joy in our tribulations, our sufferings. So there's something when different writers in the Bible talk about the same thing in the same way, we need to take note. Exult, this kaukaomai. This can be translated boast or exult. We are not boasting in what we can do, but what God is doing through us. Now, see, boasting can be both a positive and a negative. If we boast what we can do, well, that's not right because we're nothing. But when we boast in God, and that's what Paul often does, he boasts in what God has done through him. And God gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him from having a arrogant about how much he knew, all the gifts he had. He had tremendous assets. So God gave him a thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. We may have that same kind of thing where we encounter suffering to make us humble. Humility is a very important aspect of our Christian life, to understand that we're nothing apart from Jesus. We're nothing apart from the God, the Holy Spirit. Our prayers are answered by God the Father. That's why we pray to Him. So we learn about God and we boast in God, what God can do. But we don't always understand why He does some things. We tend to try and understand those. But we just have to walk by faith. And hopefully we persevere and God can reveal to us answers to prayers. Why is this happening? And I say that over and over again. You exercise that relationship to God the Father. Make it an intimate relationship. And you may want to ask, why God? Why am I suffering? Or what's this that I see? Why is the world in such a terrible state? Well, there are answers in the Bible. We know that this is the devil is the prince of the air currently, the current ruler. Now he can't do things that God won't let him. But God works all things together for good to those who love Him. So it is often used, this boasting, in a positive sense to celebrate or be joyful. So you want to have count it all joy, as James says. So we must understand that tribulations, the Greek word slipsis, or pressure, is part of the Christian life. We live in a fallen world, and we live in a world that's hostile towards Christianity. We talked last week about persecution.com and persecution.org. You've got the Voice of the Martyrs, but you've also got the Christian website that talks about different persecutions, especially in Africa or India, Pakistan. We know of problems in China, so all over the world. And even there's hostility in America. There are many people who are atheists who think we're stupid. But we have a more sure word. We have the Word of God, and it's sad when you meet an atheist, and there's no hope there. There's no future. There's no confidence in the future. Talk to an atheist. Well, when he dies, he just becomes dust, gone, nothing. There's nothing left. And we know that everybody knows there is a God. Romans chapter 1 tells us that. So the atheist has to fight that and say there is no God, even though he knows in his soul that there is one. But it's so sad when, like in the story that Jesus told, a true story about the rich man and Lazarus, that the rich man died and went to torments. And then he's begging Moses to send somebody like Lazarus down to tell his brothers, don't do what I did. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior. Well, Jesus' answer was, they already have the prophets. God provides the witness of the different people. The problem is that people don't want to. They fight against it. And at some point, like the Corinthian jailer, they may come and say, you know, I understand the situation. I believe. What do I have to do to be saved? But other ones, to their dying day, reject Jesus Christ as Savior. But there are those that on their deathbed they believe, and that I've seen two of those, and I know there's many more that they realize all of a sudden that okay, what happens when I die? That's one of those big questions. Where did we come from? What is our purpose? And what happens when we die? Bible's got answers for all of those questions. That's why I like to call Bible doctrine Bible answers. The Bible has answers. All we have to do is learn them. That's part of what we teach here. The answers. But they're in the Bible, and sometimes God can provide the answers through the Bible. I've talked about a man, and I believe it was in India. Somehow he got a hold of the Gospels and looked at John chapter 3 without anybody giving him the Gospel. He read it and believed based upon John 3:16, 3:36, and that whole section. So It's on the suffering's on the path of maturity. We're encouraged to joy in our tribulations because they lead us to maturity if we accept those tribulations while in faith dependence on the Holy Spirit. Those tribulations don't necessarily help us if we're like little babies and just cry. But that's the point of the tribulations, is to orient towards God's grace, trust Him, and persevere through the tribulation, and not necessarily avoid it. How many times have I told you the story of the girl at college that asked a pastor, "How do I grow fast? Ask for suffering." Wait a minute. Well, but that's what the Bible tells us, is that we have suffering and that helps us grow. One of the things is perseverance. So I've said this, I don't know, I've probably said this already two times today. So I want to emphasize that as you grow and mature in your Christian life, you should develop an intimacy with God the Father. This prayer, this, you can take, you don't have to do a prayer preparation for immediate prayers, as it were. Sometimes you all you can say is, "God, help me. I'm having troubles. What do I do?" In other prayers, like we talked about the lady that had terminal cancer, people had to say, "Well, what do I pray for this girl? God has a plan for her life. So God, please move that plan forward." So she died and she went to heaven. She's face to face with the Lord right now. That intense, intimate relationship with God the Father, we need that. That gives us that confident expectation, because we know who we're saved. We know the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that God the Father has a plan, and He's answering prayer even around us, and we may not even realize it. So Romans 5:4. So we talked about knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance from the previous verse, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. That's our topic here. And Robbie Dean spent it's more than 4 hours, but he spent 4 hours specifically on hope, the different passages, going through them and talking around different things. And then he had virtues, so another 2 or 3 hours. I'm trying to pack some of that into 1 hour, and so I'm just really scratching the surface. But hope is not something where, oh, I hope it happens. It's not something. It's hope is confidence from the Bible. It's confident expectation. I repeat that over and over again. It's confidence. I know theme used to say theme, confidence, but it's looking forward. That's the point of hope, is it's looking forward. It's an expectation. So I have a couple of quotes from Robbie Dean that I thought were very helpful. In these verses in Romans 5, we have the ABCs of the Christian life summarized. Adversity builds Christian character. A for adversity, B builds, C Christian character. God says there is no other way to build Christian character than to face adversity with the promises and provisions that God has given us. In other words, God's given us answers. God's given us answers to deal with adversity. We just have to use them. And if you don't study, don't apply yourself to learning these Bible answers, someday you end up and you've got adversity and you don't know what to do. But God has given us answers. So anything else other than facing it with the promises and provisions that God has given us, anything else is a shortcut and destroys the process. Tribulations. This is the Greek word for pressure. We see that often throughout the Old and New Testament. It's often used for suffering and tribulations. There are an expected challenge to the Christian life. It's not to be feared. So that's You don't run and hide, so you face your tribulations. But if you've got answers, then you know how to deal with them. And I've talked about this James passage, so let me just quote from it. James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. There's our, that's our patience. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Just finish up here. James 1:4, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So this endurance helps us to move forward in our Christian life. This is a word for patience. Herman suggests this word is related to pressure from circumstances. Here's a quote from, they talked about it in 1 Thessalonians. I went and looked and found that he talked about this very word. But there are actually two words for the tribulations. And he's characterized them as such. Greek word for perseverance is makrothumia, translated long-suffering, and refers to patience or perseverance or being long-suffering in regards to people. In our spiritual love, we are long-suffering towards one another. But there's yet another word, translated patience or perseverance, hupomone, which refers to being patient or persevering in respect to things or circumstances. This is our word here in Romans, as it was in 1 Thessalonians. So, proven character. When you go through a situation and you come out the other side having used the answers from the Bible, or in the case like here, have you ever been on a team, either in the military or civilian life, and been tested and came out winners? There's a sense of achievement. There's a sense that what the team did as a group, depending upon each other, was the right thing. It will be something you will remember for the rest of your life. Military men that go to war, that depend on each other, and they come out the other end. They know they have survived, but hopefully they use their training. I've seen that say you're flying and you lose pressure, so you have to put on your oxygen mask. So your training, you know exactly what to do, because you have the answers. Same thing in the Christian life. And I can remember situations that I was in where as a flyer, we dealt with many different kinds of things. We dealt with a situation as a team, and we ended up doing a very good job. I don't want to get into specifics, but we did a very good job, and we're patted on the back for it because we had our training, we were prepared, and we did our job. We just did it the way we were supposed to, but we did it well. But the same thing can be said in the Christian life. Do you have answers? Have you trained, as it were? God will provide this suffering. He'll provide the training. Little suffering here, little suffering there. Were you able to use that? Sometimes you'll find that you ended up failing the test. Okay, you get up, dust yourself off, and move forward. But you've learned something, hopefully. I know how to do that next time. So eventually you pass a test, like a confidence course, where you run through in different things in a timed fashion. You've seen that in some movies if you haven't done it in the military. So that's what we have in the Christian life. You train, you learn. So just like in the military, you go to classrooms, you learn this is how we do it. Then you go in the field and you actually train, and you train, and you train. And then you go out in the military and you actually use that information, use that training, and sometimes it comes second nature. That's the point in the Christian life, is that you don't fumble around. Well, let's see, where's that Bible promise? It's in here somewhere. No, you've got it right here. That's the point of perseverance here. Proven character is what we're talking about. You were tested and you were successful. As a result, you have confident expectation. We can do that again. I know how it's done. I've done it. So it's the same thing in the Christian life. I've been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. Hope. Here's our topic. The Greek, as we know from previous lessons, is best translated as confident expectation. But where does it come from? Let's check Galatians chapter 5 for the divine nine. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Wait a minute. Where's hope? Hope's not listed there. The divine nine comes with the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it's true that these characteristics can be strengthened by daily walking in the Spirit plus the study of the Bible, doctrine, promises. But hope, as we see here in Romans chapter 5, is the result of a process. You remember that one thing after another. And I think Robbie Dean calls it a virtue ladder. One thing leads to another, leads to another. It's not something that you obtain in total in a moment in time or just a few points in a lesson. You build up that hope, that confidence. I'm able to go up one step. Okay, let me try two steps, like a baby learning to walk. So it's the result of living. It's the result of constant walking in the Holy Spirit. So Herman kept talking about, let's try a couple of minutes in the filling of the Holy Spirit. See if you can last 5 minutes, a half an hour, an hour. Let's live our whole day in faith dependence on the Holy Spirit. Let God empower us. For Paul, the word hope is important. The noun is used 13 times in the book of Romans. The verb is used 4 times in the book of Romans. No. I don't remember if that's 4 times in the book of Romans or not. I know it's 13 times in the book of Romans. The noun. So it's an important concept for Paul. So here's another quote from Robbie Dean, I believe. Hope is related to faith. Faith is the act of belief, and hope is that confidence and is faith on steroids. It takes us to another level because you are focusing on something in the future that you have a certainty about that strengthens your faith today. So hope is a present reality based on a past promise that anticipates a future destiny. It shapes in our thinking a level of confidence in God so that when we face the challenges and vicissitudes of life, we are not knocked down by them, but can stand firm and develop through the Word a mentality of toughness and strength. Hope, I'm continuing to quote here from Robbie Dean. Hope is based on a past promise of a future reality. So he's got several different ways of saying this, and I thought I'd include several of them because it's important that we understand there's a past promise, there's a present confidence in a future reality. So that brings the whole spectrum of time together in us. And hope provides the believer with such confidence in future reality, so certain that it strengthens and toughens the believer's mentality today to face the fight and to surmount unpleasant circumstances with a mentality of joy, even in the midst of difficulty. Hope really focuses on the expansion of faith, and it is much more robust than faith. It's not unrelated to faith, but it is faith on steroids and focusing on the future. Hope is related to our future destiny, where that becomes more real to us than our present time. So you can think of another thing that Robbie Dean had talked about in another place is that our life on earth as a Christian is like a boot camp in preparation for the millennium. The millennium will be fantastic, perfect environment, no devil, no cosmos diabolicus, Jesus Christ on earth, we're serving him. Concentration on spiritual things, just amazing time. But we will be there as ministers, administering under Jesus Christ. So we prepare now. We understand, as I say, we understand. Sometimes I see God presenting things for me, just like, say, Adam and Eve, or Adam in particular, where God brought animals and he was supposed to name them. Well, sometimes maybe you have the same situation where God brings a situation in front of you, and it's almost like God is saying, what are you going to do with this one? How are you going to characterize this one? You got the promises to deal with it. So, and then, okay, you do pass. Let's go on to the next one. So in our rush world today, there's an emphasis on getting immediate results. A young child can hardly wait to become an adult, but it takes time to grow and mature in one's decision-making capabilities. I'm reminded of a Dilbert comic strip that I've mentioned before. In it, a secretary pleads with Dilbert to make her an engineer, even if it takes all afternoon. We know that that's not possible. A seasoned engineer goes through years of schooling in math and physics, perhaps achieving a Master of Science or even a PhD. Then it may take years of applying what that engineer has learned to become a seasoned engineer. And I've seen that in my work before I retired, that you could have engineers attempt to solve a problem, but someone from the Air Force who'd actually lived through the situation understood from their gut right away, could see this is the solution. Whereas an engineer, I've seen engineer, I made a perfect system, and then the Air Force guy goes in and says, "What's about this? This doesn't work, or this doesn't work." Or I remember one Air Force guy looking at a design for a terminal and says, "There's 101 ways to design a terminal, but that's not one of them." An engineer just going out of school, and we've seen that with many kinds of different careers. You start come out of college and, well, that's not what they taught me in college. Well, the real world is sometimes a little different than what you see in college or university. So the Christian life requires learning about God, our relationship to God, and the assets we have to live the Christian life. So we have all these assets, and if you don't even know that you have them, like, do you know you have a spiritual gift? And as you grow, that whatever that gift may be, it may not be one that we have named, but you have something that God has given you. And as you learn Bible information, it becomes obvious what it is. When I became a believer, I would learn something in the Bible, and I wanted to tell somebody about it. Or someone asked a question, and I would give them an answer. And so people said, "You have the gift of pastor teacher." I do. But that was okay. So some people might have the gift of helps. God can put you through different testings, and you have answers because you have been through that situation, and you can help people. But God can give you there are all kinds of different things that people have gifts of. But everybody has a gift. We know that. At least one, maybe more, but at least one. And as you become mature, you will begin to use that gift in an efficient way. Then we, after we've learned stuff, we apply what we have learned to life's challenges. This process can be accelerated by suffering, tribulation. And there we are, that same little line that I made. Tribulation leads to perseverance, leads to proven character, leads to hope, confident expectation. I guess I need to hurry up here. So we are presented with daily pressures. The issue is, how will a Christian react to those pressures? He can be grumpy. He can react in anger or hatred. The list of mental attitude sins is long. But the correct response is to apply Bible answers to the situation. How do I deal with this situation? Let's see, I've got a promise on that one. So it may be a simple promise, but the question is, will you? 1 Peter 5:6, "Therefore humble yourselves." There's that word, humility, humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And so you can look at this as you put, I think I say it here, but I'll go ahead and say it now. Casting is like throwing. It's not just lightly putting it on him. Bam! Put it on him. Get rid of that thing. Let God take care of the anxiety. And there's no anxiety with God. God's already got it. He's already got a solution already lined up. Just ask God to imply that solution. It may not be the one you want, but it's what you need. Let God take care of the details. You can go about your day empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish your tasks patiently. The word for perseverance is a word for patience, waiting, faith, proven character. This is a step in the maturing process. Hope. Let me quote again from Robbie Dean. Hope is based on a past promise of a future reality. Present, past, future. Another quote. Just as faith grabs hold of a promise, so hope focuses on the future fulfillment of that promise. Take the 1 Peter 5:7 verse. In the past, God provided a promise through Peter, who got it from Psalm 55:22. Then I find that as we go through the Bible, you see people using promises, like, for instance, David, the battle is the Lord's. Well, that wasn't, he learned that from Moses, from God telling Moses, the battle isn't yours, it's mine. So casting, we talked about that. Throwing, this isn't putting something delicately, no, this is flinging. Get rid of it now. Let God take care of it. This involves having God take care of something. If you have actions to do, you do them. The Holy Spirit isn't going to do the work for you. But instead of worrying, have I done enough? Is it good enough? Worrying, not being able to sleep at night. You can ask God to empower you to do a good job. But in the end, it's God that wins the victory for you. We've seen that so many times in the Old Testament. I could say I have a whole hour just quoting. But one of my favorite passages, I know Theme talked a lot about about David's life and faith rest there, but I found Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 24:14 here, well the whole chapter 20 is amazing. He did everything right. He took took your problems to the Lord in prayer. So starting in 2 Chronicles 20:14. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear." A big thing all over the Bible. Don't fear. That's wrong. "Or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's." The Christian life is a battle. We arm ourselves. We defend ourselves. But in the end, the battle is God. So we must depend on him to do the battle. We don't take it away. "I can do that, God. I can do that." No, let God take care of it. "Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in the front of the wilderness of Jerula. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." In some battles, you don't have to do anything, but just trust God and his promises as here. And also in Gideon's case, we saw the battle between two enemies. At other times, you go out to fight, and it's God that makes you successful because you depend on him. Robbie Dean has an extensive discussion of virtues. He goes through almost 2 hours with different things. I'm just kind of going to summarize with a couple of slides. So Paul and other writers of the New Testament have lists of virtues. We've encountered here in Romans 5, 3 through 4, tribulations leads to perseverance, proven character, and hope. And Robbie Dean explains, he talks about these as a virtue ladder. Tribulations, that's the bottom ladder. So you persevere through the tribulations by faith dependence on the Holy Spirit, and you end up having gone through them, proven character, you were successful, you know how to do that now, and that leads to confident expectations that you can deal with that again in the future using past promises. Rabbi Dean calls them virtue ladders. One thing leads to another and another. This is part of the growth process for Christians. So Rabbi Dean studies this passage as well as James chapter 1 verses 2 through 5. I think that's 1 Peter. 1 through chapter 1 verses 5 through 7. And Galatians 5:22 through 26, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So the James and Peter passages are pertinent to our study, and they both include the word endurance. So that's an important word, endure, patience. Another way to say that is waiting for God. You trust Him. So here's a slide from Robbie Dean. So we talk with the Romans, you have adversity, it's ellipsis, pressure, adversity, tribulation. But then you have endurance or patience, hypomone. And you see that here with James, you've got the trial, different word. Instead of ellipsis, you have perasmos. And then testing, dokimion. And notice this, here you have dokime, tested. Here you have testing. But they both end up with endurance. That's an important word, that patience, that persevering. And in James, you get the perfect work, you have the end, the maturity. For Romans, you go through hope. So the writers have picked some milestones. You don't just say, well, see, now let me have my checklist here. I've got this. It's not always a straight line. You may end up adversity and endurance. Oops, I failed that one. So back to adversity. Or here you have testing. So there's it's multifaceted. There's no yellow brick road. You just don't get on the yellow brick road. Although the way of the Christian is faith dependence on the Holy Spirit. But that requires some information answers from the Bible. Now we have a second slide here from Robbie Dean. Again, emphasizing hupomone. You've got, it is 2 Peter, okay. So you got Romans, hupomone. You've got James, hupomone, and 2 Peter. So that patience is very important. Being able to wait on God, to trust God, and that's how you move forward in your Christian life. Well, I've gone over I guess I had 10 pages, but that's just two slides. So let's end in prayer here. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for spiritual gifts that our gifts are meant for helping the church as a whole body. We have hands and feet and mouth and ears and eyes, and each one of us is a part of that. So we're grateful, Father, for the body of Christ. Pray that you'll help Spring Valley Bible Church move forward. Pray that for our nation. That you can settle people down. We have seen that there are on college campuses, in some places at least, an increased interest in Jesus Christ, in salvation, in the gospel. So pray that that will continue. So now pray, Father, that the lesson will go out and God, the Holy Spirit, can be the teacher and to lighten people's lives and be able to apply hope to their own lives. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.